What you start seeing then in the 19th century, so from 1800 onward, is a growth in this Jewish presence. You see across UK a greater understanding of certain religious tolerance, and the Jewish presence is part of that. And once that Spanish and Portuguese community have made that presence, you start seeing other Jewish communities making their way to the UK as well because of that tolerance. And that's the communities that we then refer to as Ashkenazi, and what most people would think of as coming from Germany and Eastern Europe, that tradition of Jewish heritage. So you end up with two communities in Britain, this Murano community we think of as actually a Sephardi, and the Ashkenazi Jewry, who were coming from what was Central and Eastern Europe. At this time, at the start of the 19th century, it is the Sephardi community who still have the power within the Jewish community and are still the more prominent. But over the 19th century, that begins to change with the arrival of the Ashkenazi Jewry. Now, everything, of course, is not rosy in the garden. There are a number of people who do not want any more Jewish advancements. I mean, Britain does not have the history of anti-Semitism because of that expulsion that other countries have, who have had a continuous Jewish presence or a number of Jews in their area. So we have a break with some of that anti-Semitism, or what would then be considered anti-Judaism, but that does not mean we don't have it at all. We do have anti-Judaism because we are, like most communities of that countries, we are have lack of religious tolerance for Catholics, for certain other Christian non-denominational groups, for foreigners, etc., etc. So it's not everything is rosy, but it's a lot better than many other places in Europe. And if that is your comparison of the time, then actually Britain is a fairly safe place to be in. The anti-Judaism you're going to find is probably going to be mainly verbal. It is not going to result very often in you being attacked on the streets. Later on, when the community grows in society, you start seeing some anti-Jewish riots. But certainly at the start of the 19th century, this is not the case. And what you do start seeing, of course, is that this, particularly these communities do grow in influence in terms of finance. And they are very important in supporting British interests abroad. They help finance a number of British wars. Without that money, it would not have occurred. Britain would not have been able to win. And so they become very entwined with elements of British government and supportive of British interests. I mean, these are is often the way the immigrant population, they are more supportive of British interests than many Brits are. In 1760, they established what was known as the Board of Deputies of British Jews, and at that point an informal organisation which is there to represent the Jewish community in the UK and have relations directly to government, local authorities, etc. By 1835, that is recognised as an official body by government, and that's very important because the Board of Deputies of British Jews means it is the first, and in many ways the only, organisation of a minority that is officially accepted within British government circles. They are granted permission to be the authorities in marriage, and that exists to this day. So in line with the Jewish religious authorities, if you are Jewish, you can marry in synagogue and your wedding is automatically recognised. Now, up until recently, the change in the Marriage Act, most other faiths have to go through a civil service in this country, and anything they have in their religious organisations is considered religious faith, but not official. But from 1835, Jews have the same status in terms of Christians in how they are their services are recognised. And that, as I say, that's quite a key issue. You start seeing, because of the contribution of Jews in powerful positions in some areas of the country, you start seeing them wanting to be a greater involvement in across non-Jewish affairs. And Jews, as well as being financiers, start moving into other important trades, such as with cloth trade. We start seeing them, because of the nature of Amsterdam as well, with jewellery, but also importantly with medicine. And in turn, the finances themselves become very involved with the 19th century tradition of philanthropy. And although a lot of that is associated with Christian communities, the Jewish community is very involved too, very involved with foundling hospitals, helping very poor communities, both non-Jewish and Jewish. They do not keep it solely to their own community. There are a lot of community organisations, but also a lot of non-community donation and involvement. So they're very keen on becoming part of British society. 1837, Moses Hyam Montefiore, very important Sephardi Jew, Montefiore family. He's knighted by the Queen, very importantly. In 1841, Isaac Goldschmidt, it becomes the first Jewish hereditary peer. Again, very important, because at this point, Jews cannot sit in the House of Commons. Because when you were elected as an MP, in order to take up your seat in the House of Commons at this period, you have to have a Christian oath. So anybody who is not, does not have, can say the Christian oath, cannot take their place. So even though that there is actually the election of a Jewish MP, he cannot take up his seat. In 1855, you get the first Jewish Lord Mayor of London. So they're very involved. Now, you know, the Lord Mayor of London is an elected position. So he is elected by other trades. And that gives an indication of the levels or non-levels of anti-Semitism or anti-Judaism at that stage, but also how involved they are with community life. To be the Lord Mayor, it's not just about business, although that's obviously a very important part of what the Lord Mayor is there to do, but it's all about poor law action, health requirements, all of those things. So in order to have been elected that post, they must have been understood to be a position within the community as a whole, not within just within the Jewish community. Then very, very importantly, 1858 is emancipation. So finally we get Jewish emancipation. And that means that they remove the oath of entry into the House of Commons from being solely Christian. And Lionel de Rothschild, MP, who had been elected quite some time years before, was able to take his seat. And interestingly enough, since 1858 to this date, there's always been a Jewish presence in our House of Commons. And rarely, if ever, to my knowledge, they're purely because of their faith background in the House of Commons. They have been part of all three of the parties, the key leading parties in our history, so the Tories, the Whigs, the modern-day Conservatives, Liberals, and the Labour Party. They have taken a full part of community affairs from that position. Now, of course, probably during the 19th century, the most famous Jewish MP is someone who is a bit of a misnomer, and that's probably Benjamin Disraeli. But of course, Benjamin Disraeli had entered the House of Commons before emancipation, because although both his parents were Jewish, which in course in turn made him Jewish by birth, his family had given him baptism as a child, and he was therefore able to take the Christian oath. We know that obviously there was still anti-Semitism or anti-Judaism within British society at that point, because there were many slurs and accusations made about Disraeli during that time, both from the colleagues within his own party, the Tories, but also from other sides of the house. And we have records of this, and it's particularly nasty, and he talks about it at various points. But it doesn't make any difference. He still becomes Prime Minister, the leader of his party, the most powerful office in the UK, and he gets made a member of the House of Lords. So yes, there is this anti-Judaism, there is this prejudice, and it's often snobbish and detrimental, but progression can be made for communities. And by 1890, all restrictions for every position in the British Empire are removed. So with the exception of actually becoming king or queen, of which we still have very interesting laws in this country, Jews can do anything else.